The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Have you heard of the Grace Evangelical Society's National Bible Conference? Well, if you haven't, I would love for this to be your first year to join us. This is a Bible conference that we put on every year. It is a great experience, wonderful fellowship. To learn more about it, you can go to faithalone.org and click on events. What is the relationship of eternal security and being disciplined by the Lord? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for coming along for the ride today. So we're taking questions from listeners just like you, and if you've got questions, I hope you'll send them to us. We have email. You probably do too. Our email is radio@faithalone.org. Reach out to us with those questions. Well, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to discuss this one, and it should be interesting. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back to the show. My name is Sean Lazar. Sounds like bizarre.
And I'm Bob Wilkin, and it sounds like Wilkin.
You know, I was seeing someone like, you know, I don't know if you have contacts in your phone.
I used to wear them in my eyes, but not anymore.
I have some people in my phone. I don't know them very well, and I'll just say, Sam, the air guy, or Mike, the tired dude.
You tell your phone to call Mike, the tired dude?
Because I don't know their last name, and it helps me remember who they are.
Right.
And other people do that, and they mentioned, you know, this is how everyone got their last names, right? Mike Baker. It's Mike the Baker. You know, Mike the Baker over there. It's Robert the Miller.
Right.
You know, Robert the Archer.
Well, I think they still do that in, what is it, Iceland? It's where they're half Thor, you know, son of Thor.
That's a crazy system. Know what they do there?
What?
You get your father's name, and then if you're the daughter, then it's daughter. And if it's the son, then
spelled
it's son.
Spelled D-O-T-T-E-R.
So my kids would be Zane, Sean's son, Daphne, Sean's daughter, Scout, Sean's daughter. Well, that's a nutty system. Because how do you know if anyone's part of the same family?
I guess
it's
going to
change over. You know, you will never know. Who's
so
part
brothers
of the same
and
family.
Sisters don't have the same name.
They don't have the same last name. I wonder though if in modern Iceland they do something differently. But that's what they did over the centuries. And I was like, they didn't learn like that first generation. They're like, wow, this is really confusing. We don't know who belongs to what family here because there's a bunch of Sean's or there's a bunch of John's or whatever name is popular up there. Magnuson or something.
Right.
Magnus daughter. I don't know. Here's a question from Amy, and she read one of my blogs on Romans 6. By the way, if you're not reading our blog, sign up at faithalone.org. I'm going through Romans right now, and Bob and I both kind of just do random questions too. And she says, in the second and last paragraph, a distinction is made between imputed righteousness and practical righteousness. I don't know what practical righteousness is. Will you please elaborate? Amy, I'm happy to do that. So imputed is what?
Imputed righteousness is where God takes the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and credits it to our account or imputes it to our account.
Right.
In other words, we're treated as righteous even though we may not be living righteously. And in fact, in one sense, no one is righteous, right?
Yeah.
No one lives righteously if the standard is God because we fall short of the glory of God all the time, Romans 3:23.
Yeah.
But imputed means to place on one's account. And so the righteousness of Christ is credited to us the moment we believe in him for our salvation, for everlasting life.
To use a homely illustration, I went to first time ever going to a country club a few months ago, and I was kind of the guest of someone, and I got to go to this club, and I had a good meal, and it all went on to this person's account. So I was allowed to into the club, not because of me, but because of, on account of the person who was a member there. And I got to eat, not because of me or because I can afford it, but it was all put onto the tab of the person who's the member of the club there.
Right.
I've heard Tony Evans use this illustration, too, if he takes a guest to one of these sporting events that he's a chaplain. I don't know. He was a chaplain for
the Mavericks for a while.
Mavericks,
and
right?
I think for the Cowboys, too.
And he would say, you know, if I go, I go to my special parking spot. It's not your special parking spot. It's my special parking spot, but you get to use it because of me. And then we go through the special entrance, not because of you, but because you're with me, you get to go through, and it goes through all these benefits that he has as a chaplain.
Right.
And if you're his guest, you get to enjoy all those benefits. They get imputed to your account. So Christ imputes his righteousness to us. But then there's practical righteousness, and that's just what we call sanctification, spiritual growth.
Yeah, people can go on our website, faithalone.org, and look up. We have multiple articles on sanctification. In the early years, we wrote some articles about three types of sanctification: past, present, and future. So present sanctification is what most people mean by sanctification. And with this question, Amy is asking more or less about present sanctification, which is being set apart day by day to be more and more like Christ.
Yeah.
Past sanctification is a once and for all setting me apart into the family of God, like Hebrews 10:14 refers to past sanctification. He has perfected forever those who have been sanctified. It's a once and for all sanctification. But then there's also a future sanctification, which we call glorification. And that's the day when the Lord Jesus will give us glorified bodies, and then we will be like him, 1 John 3:2. And so there's three types, and we're talking here about progressive sanctification or present sanctification.
Yeah. So practical righteousness is just basically, are you getting better at loving your neighbors? You know, are you doing a better job being a husband or a wife or a father or a mother or a worker?
And it's important, I think, for Amy and all of you to recognize the term righteous is used in the scriptures to refer to people based on their experience. And that's what we would call practical righteousness. In other words, I've mentioned before in Luke chapter 1, the parents of John the Baptist are both called righteous because they're walking in all the commandments of God. And there are many people in Scripture who are called righteous, not righteous because they believe in Jesus, but righteous because they are walking in the truth and walking in the faith. And if you read Psalms and Proverbs, you will see that there's the path of the righteous and there's the path of the wicked. That's not the path of the believer and the unbeliever. That's the path of the one walking in obedience to God as compared to the one walking in rebellion. And so righteous can be a relative term.
Yeah.
Because we all fall short of the glory of God, yet we can be righteous. And so if you're walking in fellowship with God, you have what's the term? Practical righteousness.
Yeah. Okay. And here's a question from Robert. It's about Hebrews 12:8. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. That's Robert's quote from Hebrews 12:8. And his question is, most commentaries read this to mean the Lord gives you conviction of sins, but not everyone who is a believer in Christ adheres to the Lord's discipline or conviction. And so his question is, how does this promote eternal security? What is the author saying? So maybe Robert's question is, if you're without discipline, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. So does that mean you can lose your salvation? Somehow this relates to eternal security.
This question was forwarded on to Ken Yates, who works with us. And Ken, I saw his reply. And what Ken said I thought was excellent. He said, first of all, notice Robert's talking about conviction.
Yeah.
The context is not talking about conviction. The context is talking about chastening. In the context of Romans 12, chastening is not simply being judged by Christ for things we've done that are sinful so that we're reaping the consequences of our sinful behavior. But it's also simply child training that God brings about in our life to cause us to grow. Mm. And in fact, the word translated chastening or discipline is the word paideia. It has the idea of child training. And so what the context is talking about is if God is not moving you toward more and more holiness by his discipline, which could either be simply difficulties he allows in our life to cause us to grow, or he brings into our life because we're not walking in fellowship. Either way, God uses those things to cause us to grow. Now, Zane Hodges has a rather odd understanding of this passage, which I'm not sure of, but he could be right.
Okay.
Hodges says that the idea of an illegitimate son doesn't refer to an unbeliever. But it's a figure of speech. It's like saying, if you had a child that was not a legitimate child, but was a child born out of wedlock, and you didn't actually raise that child.
Okay.
The woman raised the child, and maybe you provided some money, or maybe you didn't even do that.
Okay.
Well, that would be the kind of illustration here. And Hodges said you might get to the point as a Christian where God stopped drawing you toward holiness, and ultimately you're on the path of him taking your life.
Hmm.
Basically, what most commentators would say is if you're truly born again, God is going to be working in your life to draw you to himself, either through difficulties he allows in your life or he brings in your life.
I guess the author is trying to change their perspective of the chastening. It sounds like they don't like it. And he's saying, no, don't despise the chastening of the Lord.
What verse is that?
Verse 5.
Yeah, and Ken Yates, who's written a commentary on Hebrews, and we have that book available at faithalone.org, he said in his answer that all through the book, you can see that the readers are undergoing persecution. That persecution is part of God's child training.
Right.
And so they don't really like it.
Yeah, you need to get a different perspective on this. Don't hate it. This is what you should expect as sons, to be raised up, to be trained up.
Right. And you remember when the apostles were beaten for preaching Christ, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ.
And so verse 9 is kind of this. Further, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?
But so this has nothing to do with eternal security at all.
It's really just your attitude towards being trained by God.
Right. So, Robert, don't think somehow there's anything here that's questioning eternal security. No matter how you understand illegitimate children, the idea is that God is using difficulties in our life to make us more like Christ.
Thank you for your questions, and there's a simple way that you guys can really help us out. It's to give us a review on whatever app platform you're using to listen to us, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, whatever it is. We would really appreciate you to just take a couple minutes and give us a 5-star review and write something, so that more people can know about the program. It'll appear higher in the search lists, and more people will hear the message of grace. So if you can just take 2 minutes to just review us, it would be enormously helpful to us. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys in the next show.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's episode, we're going to talk about what it means to be an overcomer, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.